Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome to our show, and we have an hour of information to share with you, my beloved light family, and I'm so glad that you've joined us. We have got your questions here, but also some insights, because in these pre-records, last week's show was recorded yesterday, and I knew yesterday that there were some really big things that needed to get some clarification during the night, and the Infinite revealed incredible information during the night. So, first question is actually from the Oracle, Eva. And what I need to explain to you there is that Eva, if you take a look at our and also on the forum, schoolofarcana.org, if you take a look at those, you will see that I've been sharing with you bits and pieces from these malachite tablets that come out of the Isis library. And they're called the tablets of the Holy Mother. They're in the language of the feminine part of the Infinite, which we experienced during the dream. And so they're engraved with gilt gold lettering, and then they're polished at the back. They're only one-sided. We have seven of those. And those seven, to understand the question, I'm going to explain the layout of the library, is in the main hall of the Isis library. In the middle of the floor, after these seven started to be translated, and Eva was writing them down, we were going back and forth, and I was translating what she was bringing. She was actually doing most of the traveling. So at that point, what happened is that I could see that there was another one that was going to come online that's round, and it would be lying in the middle of these tablets. It did. As we got closer to translating the seventh tablet, this first of the round tablets appeared. I could also sense but not see that there would be one coming online above us, a ceiling one. It did. After that, another eight came online above it, which were standing again vertically, and then another 12 circles beyond that, and so on. Yesterday, they started spinning, and as they spun, eventually they formed this sphere, and the sphere had no writing on it. There's writing, if there was any, was to the inside of the sphere. The outside was just totally polished. It spun faster and faster and faster, and then exploded. And Eva actually saw this, and so she has questions for me, and you know, she may be at work not able to hear this, so if my students that are able to tune in today as live listeners could just on the forum notify Eva that she should listen to this for the answer. But she said to me, is this a new power source? What has happened? I'm going to explain to you what has happened during this show. It does tie in with some of the other comments that are here, but perhaps the best is just that I explain it based on her question, what happened. And then I can when we get to the other questions, I can just sort of tie them into the explanation. What happened is the following. Let's take a look at what those tablets had on them. They had the grand illusions of life. The seven tablets, the very first ones, they're square in shape, 40 foot by 40 foot and about 2 feet thick, that were in a circle before the middle horizontal floor circle came online. These seven tablets dealt with the seven illusions of life. The first illusion of life was innocence. My brothers and sisters, there can be no innocence unless there is guilt. There is no guilt when all of us are living within the one life expressing as the many. In other words, each of us is playing the exact role that we were designed to play. Innocence can only be defined by its opposite. When all of life is innocent, innocent is not really a quality. It's just the nature of life. It's what life is. So innocence, as a pervasive part of life, loses its definition. Let me try and explain this one a little bit better. I know what I just said, but I'm not sure you do. So innocence sees only that which it wants to see. It sees only sameness, only that which is like me. We've gotten far away from seeing only sameness and rigidly opposing anything that doesn't conform to our sameness. As a cosmos, we have moved from that stage to the stage of codependence, to the stage of independence, to the stage of interdependence. We then moved forward into autonomy. We then moved forward into what's called sovereignty. We then moved forward where we are today into absolute oneness. Absolute oneness has all diversity within. Yet it lives in such oneness that it is fully empathic and telepathic. Many of the martyrs have gone into this full telepathy, full empathy. I actually am having difficulty with just hearing people's thoughts under my roof as though they're my own, feeling their feelings as though they're my own, but now it's gone even beyond that where I'm seeing their visualizations as though it is my own. And, you know, I'm having to give myself more distance because it's as though one doesn't live your own life. You can only live that way when all is in total perfection and in total purity. This is where we have now been heading. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is where we are today, but I know in my heart that there is still a few steps. So the next step was knowingness. Innocence can be cruel, like the little child pulling the puppy's ears and not understanding that they're not just nice, fuzzy, dangling things to be played with, but that they actually hurt the puppy. Knowingness comes from experience. So really one can call knowingness experiential knowledge. It made innocence more complete so that innocence would not have this myopic, focused vision that just does what it wants and it's only on itself. But knowingness is codependence because it tries to control life and others. Codependence says, I give and give and give and give to you. See how much I'm going out on a limb for you. See all the nice things I do for you. And now that I do, I expect you to be behaving the way I wish for you to be behaving. If you don't, I'm outraged that you can be so selfish. See, this is codependence. And it is when there's knowingness. Now, knowingness is nothing more than a disguised name for life's wisdom. And wisdom is nothing more than yesterday's truths, meaning obsolete information, which is density. You can read the wisdom of Emerson. I happen to love Emerson. You can read the wisdom of Thoreau. Some of it may still apply today, but it has to be rediscovered, because to take what led us out of a box of illusion, say 100 years ago, and apply it to today's box, which is a much bigger box, just keeps re-perpetuating the past. Wisdom is something that we must understand is not beneficial to growth, because growth comes from exploration. And wisdom deals with that which has already been explored and no longer needs to be. Knowingness was the second illusion given by the second tablet. And we then, and I'm not going to vouch that this is the exact right order. Seems like I've lived 100 years since I translated this about a day or two or three ago. But the other illusions were adoration. We have a sister here, I think it is Donna, from Vancouver. She says, what then about adoration from us here in the cosmos? The adoration implies that there are two beings. There's one being that adores, there's one being that is being adored. We have entered absolute oneness, and I'm going to make that more clear today because there are developments that we have not yet understood. The absolute oneness that we're experiencing make it that any adoration that we could possibly feel is self-adoration. And the minute we start directing it outside of ourselves, you know, this was answered on, I think it was either last week's show or the one before, where our sister Laura Lee from Alaska asked about, you know, why do I get paid for teaching wisdom? And she had a quote there about, you know, manifesting abundant outside of oneself because one is abundant within. And my comment was there is no inside and outside. There's really no generosity and there is no receptivity. It is simply in each of our lives that we are everything that we see. This is diversity within the oneness. It's different than uniformity, which is tribalism, which is, you know, rigidly opposes anything that's diverse from a very small group. This stifles growth, and it begs perpetrators to come and break up such stagnation. So let's go further. So what we have now is absolute oneness. If we adore anything, adore something as a facet or a part or an expression of that which you are. You are all things are divine because you are a consciousness superimposed over the one being that is the divine. Therefore, we are all divine. The adoration needs to now become self-adoration through what we term our environment, but it's nothing more than an extended part of ourselves. So for that piece of your question, Donna, that is the answer. Now, the other thing is this. So we then went to the next one, which is seeing the divine within. There is no within and there is no without. There is only absolute perfection. Even if things seem to have been mistakes, at some point, why that, quote, mistake was there is clear. And it never is a mistake. It's just a higher order that we couldn't see the big picture of. And, you know, we had the dog by the tail, and the dog was wagging its tail, and we were wondering why the whole dog was moving when it was only the tail. We can't see the big picture. And therefore, we cannot discern that there never has been anything but divinity. Now, here comes the important part, which is part of my night's insights. What is divinity? Divinity is that which cannot be fractured. It is that which cannot be injured. It is that which cannot be controlled. It is that which expresses incorruptibly. It cannot be corrupted, injured, or damaged. That is divinity. That's all there is. So how can we be, you know, finding divinity within when there is no within and there is no without and all there is divinity? It's like innocence. It becomes part of life. It loses its definition. I'm going to keep saying this because it's going to hopefully bring things to a head for us at the end of the show. You know, that that it loses its definition. So let's take a look at some of the others. Seeing intrinsic worth. What is worth? Worth can only be established when something is worth more than something else. If all of life is completely and inextricably part of the one life of divinity, you can't cordon off a piece of the ocean and say, because I put a fence around this part of the ocean, let's assume people have put shark nets on the bottom of the ocean, which they often do to keep swimmers from shark attacks. Okay, so one part is cordoned off than the other. Who's going to say this part of the ocean is different just because there's a fence than the other part? There can be no difference. There is only ocean. Humanity might have erected some sort of a netting fence at the bottom. Nevertheless, there's only ocean. So there is no difference in value between one being or another. One being might be playing the role of that which is more awake. Another being might be playing a role of that which isn't. You know, as I said to the sister who was asking about this issue of getting paid, are you saying that my work is more important than yours if you're a school teacher or a garbage collector or a doctor? All labor done with the right heart in total love and praise and gratitude of the one life expressing as the many, whether we serve the many or unravel the mysteries of the one life, it's equally important. So there is no intrinsic value if all value is the same. So just wanted to bring that up. And let me see, how many others do we have here?
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
The Way of the Toltec Nagual, New Precepts for the Spiritual Warrior, is now available from Almeen. Not only is this wisdom-packed book a guide for serious students of the Toltec Way, but also a font of knowledge for all truth-seekers. Mapping out the revolutionary changes in Toltec mysticism, it presents the precepts of mastery sought out by all who travel the road of illumination and spiritual warriorship. Almeen reveals publicly, for the first time, the ancient power symbols used by Toltec Nahuals to assist in obtaining freedom from illusion. This book also features information about the hidden planets used by the Toltecs and the astrology of Isis. The Way of the Toltec Nahual, New Precepts for the Spiritual Warrior, is now available in paperback or as an electronic download or as an audiobook spoken by Almeen. To receive your copy, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Back on the air for our second segment, and then just to complete my thoughts before, these seven Malachite tablets added up to the grand illusion of all. The illusion, and I need to explain this term because even people that have studied with me for a long time might not fully be aware, because this was taught in my very earlier material, and it hasn't been relevant till today to mention it again. But they add up to immortal life more abundant. All seven illusions. That is a term we need to define. What I mean when I say life more abundant is the life in which all of life around you responds to your commands, to your wishes, to your desires and intents. Let's say I would like $100 today. Okay, suddenly there $100 manifests. It's because my intent and my desire have brought it about. The more immediately that $100 manifests and then becomes a way of life to live in this life of what we call miracles, it's life more abundant, where even the atomic elements can respond to your desires. We have a situation where life more abundant starts to happen when you're in the advanced stages of ascended mastery. Now, life more abundant being immortal, yes, by then you are immortal. However, my brothers and sisters, even that is a fallacy if you consider that we are living within the infinite's immortal, incorruptible. Nothing can touch it. No death, no fracturing, no anything can touch the core of the infinite. That is what we are becoming made, we are now made of. So nothing can touch us. Of course we're immortal. And immortal also loses its definition because there is no death. There's nothing to define it against. You can't say somebody is mortal because it's completely false. They may choose to lay their lives down, and besides which, there are more and more immortal people that don't really know they're immortal. And then a lot of deaths that are still happening. I have here from Christina in Toronto a letter that says, my sense is that after this huge move that we have just made, that there would be a mass exodus occurring. Having so many funeral flower deliveries yesterday, the most I've ever had in one day. I felt even before you told us there will be very few who will remain here. Christina Trevino is the one whose show I was on. She has a blog radio show. And when I was on the show, I read one of the Oracle's words, the Oracle Shelley in Toronto. And it was saying, very few remain. We have got a lot of soulless holograms walking around that disappear each time major shifts are completed. Why are they there? Because there have been illusions to get rid of. Some of these that I'm mentioning. They were like the soulless beings that really isn't a being at all. It's just an image of something. But they've been living their lives like in just sort of in automated motion. Every time we shift, whole bunches of them will leave. She delivers funeral flowers more than ever on the day that shift occurred. And the shift is what I'm explaining to you in a very roundabout fashion, because it's the answer to the Oracle Eva's question about what happened in those libraries. So let's continue. We have got the illusions of those tablets. The round tablet on the floor is the equation of the seven illusions. But as you look, really, even though they may not have appeared yet, those tablets above the ceiling tablets go on forever and ever and ever and ever. I saw this yesterday, and to tell you the honest truth, I got so darn depressed because I knew in my heart that what they represented were illusions. And the illusions stemmed from one corruptible thing. We are on BBS Radio, and yesterday when I pre-recorded, I was not the only one depressed. My beloved brother Don, who's our station owner and manager, you know, he had this virus that apparently had been targeted from China. It came through China anyway, that had targeted some number of companies. And I knew it wasn't an accident. We've had basically like a virus in mind of the infinite. And what it did is that it made illusion after illusion after illusion because it tried to define itself. The infinite being cannot be defined because beyond it, there is no opposite. If there's only light, there's no definition for light because just pretend you've never seen a shadow. You've never seen darkness. How can you define light? We have used opposites to define. And on yesterday's station, yesterday's pre-record on the station that we did, which for those of you that will hear this when the show airs or on the archives, it would be last week's show, we have said unequivocally that there are no opposites in the cosmos, that the opposites arose when the poles were split, poles that should never... That should be together. I don't want to say shouldn't be because I know that ultimately there are no accidents. But when we got polarity, when we got masculine and feminine, when we got chromosomes that are masculine and feminine, proactivity, receptivity, when we got that, that is when we started to create definitions. Also, when we pulled together apart that which was together, namely the threads of the tapestry of life, then diversity happened. When diversity and polarity happens, which separated that which should be androgynous and together, that is when we started to be able to define what is life, because suddenly we had death. We were able to define what is light, because suddenly we had places where light was not. We cannot define the infinite. My daughter, yesterday evening, I thought, am I never going to get to the bottom of this? Looking above those tablets that Ifa had seen and seeing that they went on forever and ever and ever, which I had done earlier in the day, there's just no end to these illusions because every tablet, now there's a set of tablets that describe something different, but other than that, almost all the other tablets dealt into infinity with illusions. How could illusions keep going into infinity? It is because infinite mind, something happened like a virus in which it became overactive. It then started to create for itself because it suddenly started to say, oh my gosh, is there an end? Is there something I don't know? Should I be mapping out my being? Who am I? It started to obsess about the questions. Now, my students know this. This is one of the pitfalls of consciousness, is to obsess about the questions because it drains energy. And when you drain energy, you drain consciousness. They are irrevocably tied together. You require resources for high consciousness. Resources that are readily available, but you can block out the flow of them. And this was sent to me in a drawing by the Oracle Vanessa from the Irish Masters, that the light is not getting through because of the structure that, and she drew the structure that had been created by the infinite's mind. Wisdom, innocence, purity, goodness. You know, I yesterday was actually on a pre-record and I was listening to a show that was running in the background and I heard somebody say, oh, you know, we have to be good. If we're good, we have to be beautiful. If we're beautiful, we have to be this or that. I don't know what it was, but I thought, how can anything be not good? So goodness itself loses its definition. There's only goodness. So how can there be anything else? My brothers and sisters, we cannot define life. We cannot define the infinite. It is not possible for the infinite core, the real thing, to ever have fractured. Now, it's fascinating to learn how it fractured, because that's how we came into being. But it's now time to gather that information, which we've written about in detail in the book, The Thought That Fractured the Infinite, as well as the wonderful, actually, I'm very proud of this baby that's been produced. Rohir's video skills are becoming absolutely cutting edge. And the video that you will see as a web tutorial on BBS Radio has, and it's on their section, of course, on the Internet Further Education. But it's a beautiful video, wonderful imaging, well done. It's on the thought that fractured the infinite, how life began. And it's very much more detailed than the book, but you know, they both complement each other. And the book is available as an ebook. And by the time this airs, you will be able to get The Thought That Fractured the Infinite, also as a actual book itself. So we have seen the fracturing that happened. The fracturing that happened is in the construct that the mind did when it became, like with the virus, overactive. And it started to make divisions and definitions. It obsessed about the questions. I look back and I can't believe what happened. Because I will tell you, as a Toltec Nagual for most of my life, my training has been, you do not obsess about the questions. You will lose your consciousness. My brothers and sisters, I have done nothing but obsess about the questions. Instructed by the infinite, I just couldn't see it. I have violated my very core understanding of what you don't do in life, because we have described this very, very carefully in A Journey to the Heart of God, how you deal with the unknown and the pitfalls of the unknown. The point is, there is really no unknown. All things can be known now. For us to live life more abundant and try and affect what is in the outer exterior, our environment, denies the fact that we are that environment. We just have to bring it online. It's been offline. Why? Within the infinite, the all-knowingness about its own being became offline when one part of it became overactive. And when something is overactive, it drains the energy from other parts of beingness. Let's let me just quickly tell you about the one other thing I wanted to mention, and then we'll take our little break here. My brother, sisters, my daughter, she's 10 years old, drew me. She could see that her mommy was sad. She drew me last night a drawing. The most elaborate cloud in the sky. It had whorls in it. It was like a labyrinth. And it had a face in it. And there were three flowers planted. To the left, there was the sun. To the right, there was the clouds in the sky blowing, and it shows the wind with stripes blowing the flowers, and the three flowers are bent over because the wind is putting so much pressure on them. Wind is mind. The sun shines on the left, but the scene of the flowers growing in the sun is disrupted because of the wind blowing them. Those three flowers was myself and my Jaylene and Rohir, who has been here with us in the house, living like our family, since September of 07. We've made a little family unit, and the family unit was being affected by the barrenness of mind obsessing about questions, instead of just blossoming in the sun. And so she drew it. Our beautiful oracle, Vanessa from Ireland, drew it. And, we have finally figured that this is a major problem. Now, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back. Mm-hmm.
for Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. The world of mysticism is yet another reason to rejoice. Al Mean has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to our second half of our show. And run a little late here with commercials, but I did want to finish explaining. When Aoife saw the tablets of malachite spin and turn into a sphere, what she was seeing is many, many, many illusions disappearing. After it was understood that there can actually be nothing that is not the infinite, there can be nothing that defines the infinite, that the infinite is undefinable, a lot of illusions went away. She saw the sphere spin, and then because it was now one big illusion, and the big illusion is I can define myself, and and definitions put things in boxes, so we continually have boxes created within the infinite being. But when that was uncovered, that sphere spun and it burst. And the malachite tablets that were above the ceiling tablet, they're just all gone. So we have Peggy from Alaska saying, I am having trouble with my left eye, not focusing properly, and crying only left eye tears. Is something going on with the left eye? My precious Peggy, the left eye is the masculine way of looking at things. The masculine became overactive. Why? I don't know. That's possibly the rest of today's work. And it may be written in this, I have three scrolls to translate. I'll try and do as many today as I can. But there are three scrolls from the Isis libraries. It will possibly tell us why it became overactive and then ended up creating its creations, fracturing its creations, which, you know, then gave rise to life and so on. But the masculine has been crying. Rohir came last night and said to me the following. He said, there is such a feeling of barrenness. Only work, 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 work. And his, you know, he loves his work. But there was this feeling, I had the same thing, of barrenness. I usually love to cook, I love to make dinners, my work has been so absorbing that those little bits of being at home here and enjoying my life, I love being a homemaker. But, you know, just even the bits that I usually fit in was being crowded out because I fell behind with my work and my manuscripts and stuff that needed to be done and the translation that needed to be done. So it was for me feeling the same. I know that my little girl has been feeling the same. She's been having math tutoring and math tutoring and math tutoring at times when she wants to get out of school and play. So the masculine has created a reality that is in such a way that it is devoid of comfort. The masculine is crying. It has separated itself by its hyperactivity from its feminine, creating the ultimate split. So the feminine and masculine need to join together by the complete dissolving of masculine structures, definitions, words of wisdom, tenets of life, etc. Completely eliminating it, going back to beingness, in innocence and in absolute oneness with its feminine. So, Peggy, the left eye crying its tears is the masculine being fatigued and weary and bogged down by its own structures and activity. Now, let's take a look at the other part of Christina Trevino from Toronto's question. I had a strange message enter my mind today. I am not an illusion, nor am I real. What could this mean or imply? I find it confusing, yet there is an underlying understanding. The infinite has been struggling and struggling and struggling to get its creations to be real. They were misbegotten in the first place. This is not the way creation should happen. Creation should happen as an inner experience of a being that is in total androgyny, combining into its infinite beingness anything that it wishes to do. So doingness and beingness can no longer be separated. They need to become one. Now, what does this meaning? There is no such thing as real when there is no such thing as unreal. Now, that has not been true, yet it has been. Let me explain what I mean by that. A portion of the infinite became hyperactive, draining resources from the rest, so that the wholeness was not completely online. It became so bogged down that it became so fatigued until it finally ran its course through yesterday. Now, all of its construction, its creations, its splitting and dividing and individuating and all of defining, is being dissolved. As it is dissolved, that which is unreal goes away. Only realness remains. The cosmos becomes part of infinite inner expression. Now, Why do I say it isn't? It isn't because there really never was any illusion in the beginning. It had no realness. It had no life in it. Something that has no life in it just really isn't. That means everything we thought we experienced before never was. It was created on these, you know, constructs and constructions and things that the left brain was doing that had no life in it. It was like a left brain that starts to imagine this whole world around itself. It never had any life. So nothing has really happened. And Christina was speaking about my talk to them, because I actually spoke to my class in Toronto, and they recorded live from the class. She said, the one expressing as the many will become more awakened to its infiniteness, and there will be fewer and fewer individuations. Does this make sense? Well, not only fewer individuations, there became a point yesterday where there are just no individuations. And we are finally becoming real as these unreal fractured creations are completely dissolved. I know that the next step is what next. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to address another question that has been asked here, and see by whom. By Shannon, S. Shannon, so I'm not sure what the first name is, from Colorado. And we will take a look at that right after this break.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Windows into Eternity. Revelations of the Mother Goddess is now available from Almeen. This book provides unparalleled insight into ancient mysteries. Almeen, an internationally recognized mystic and teacher, reveals the hidden laws of existence, transcending reason, delivering visionary expansion. This metaphysical masterpiece explores the origins of life as recorded in the holy libraries. The release of information from these ancient libraries is a priceless gift to humankind. The illusions found in the building blocks of existence are exposed, as are the purposes of creation. To receive your copy of Windows into Eternity, Revelations of the Mother Goddess, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. We have about 8 minutes left here, and we have S. Shannon from Colorado that asks the following. She says, in a Catholic church in a Mayan village of Santiago on Lake Atitlan in Guatemala, there's a very unusual statue of the Trinity Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Behind the head of God the Father was not a halo, but a triangle with a single eye. Would you share your thoughts? First of all, let's look at the name of the lake in Guatemala. The name of Atl, now you'll understand, it's Atlan. A-T-A-T-L-A-N. Atlan. And Atl is the word that's in the middle. That is because in Lake Atlan in Guatemala, there is a tunnel that goes through to the center of the earth. It's a very, very special place. It is the place where Atl, now in the Toltec oral traditions, Atl was one of the white Toltecs that at the very beginning of settling the lands of Atlantis was the governing Atlantis. And Atlantis at that time was, if I remember correctly, it was a landmass that was slightly more towards the North Atlantic than where we generally think of it as. And there were the Emerald City. There was a city made from an emerald-like material that was the city of Atl. And Atl taught, principles of righteousness, if you will. He taught the Toltec way of impeccability. Atl divided his, the time of Atlantis, Atlantis, you know, so he divided it up into city-states. And each city-state had people living in it that had specific trades, like clans. So all the artists lived in one city, all the mathematicians lived in another city, the farmers all dwelt in one place, industry, etc. What was the problem with that is that a hierarchy started to develop, because people could survive without art, but they couldn't survive without daily staples of life. So those cities started to have a stranglehold on other cities and became more and more important. And eventually, they actually took on Atl in his city. The ancient oral traditions of the Toltec Nahuals say that the warfare was terrible because in those days, men wielded magic. And they were hurtling pieces of mountain at each other to fall upon the cities and so on. They were using this black magic in their warfare. And so Atl could see that a great catastrophe would come, because he could see that the earth's axis was being affected, as it has always been in the past, by black magic. It tilted you always as a result of black magic. So he could see that that was coming, and so he fled with his people into mountainous areas. And of course, it did happen. And according to Toltec oral history, it's approximately 1 million years ago. It did happen, and massive flooding happened. And Atlantis sank at that time because a wall of ice and debris came down from the north and just totally deluged it. So there must have been land up north that, you know, rocks and things were coming down with like a huge avalanche of flood with ice and rocks and stuff in it. When it emerged up the other side, it was broken up into multiple little islands. Atl was said to have gone to the center of the earth, where there is, of course, a hollow earth with many people living in it, through Lake Atlan in Guatemala. The forming of reality through the third eye is exactly how the masculine part that became, it started to function separately from its feminine. They weren't functioning as a unit. And so it broke the androgyny. You know, I'm sure that there are several layers. I have a question from Donna from Vancouver on this. I'm sure that there are several layers more to understand why it became overactive, what happened to create some schism between itself and its feminine, that they did not function properly together. And you know, then of course it would be very lost, and it would be its way of trying to control its environment, is to find the answers, which means to obsess about the questions, which means a loss of consciousness. However, the triangle with the eye in it is the pyramid in the forehead. Now, there is a most beautiful sister. She is just such a brilliant oracle in a very unique way. Every oracle has their strengths. They have a particular way in which they do things that just amaze me. But she, as an oracle, does the work of a seer. She actually travels back and forth between realities in a way that she examines. She's a Nagual as well, that she examines life and the origins of life. She uncovered that there was a pyramid on Earth that was used to form the cosmic images of life. And she was saying, if the pyramid is forming life, there's like a projector in the pyramid. If the pyramid is forming life, is there really any life? The answer really is no. Because if individuation was formed from the fracturing of infinite minds' creations that never really had any real life, in reality, we've never been there before. We've never existed before. The pyramid on Earth was projecting reality. The pyramid in the forehead of the body of the infinite was by the third eye, the image you see behind God the Father. How fitting. God the Father is the masculine component of infinite life. And the interesting thing of it is that even though it was playing a masculine role, because it's been like a dream, it's the dream of the masculine. The infinite's appearance has been feminine. And it's this masculine left eye, Peggy's left eye has been tearing, that triangle that you're mentioning on today's show, which, you know, we're talking about this exact information. It stands for the formation of reality through the pyramid within the third eye as a projector. It's the way in which the masculine, when it became overactive, started to dream in, to imagine in a reality. It's time for us to close. It's also time for us to close anything we think we were before. Today is brand new. No questions to be asked. No problems to sort out. Just to experience what it is that we are. And we'll know that by what makes our hearts sing. There's another hour of pre-record, my brothers and sisters, I hope. And then we will sign off for now and hope to speak to you soon again. Bye-bye.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almin at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Almin. Please join us again next week. Thank you.